Marriage is the ultimate sale. Welcome back to another episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about arranged marriages and how I sold my wife on spending the rest of our lives together. So, this is Ali Awad, your one and only CEO Lawyer. A lot of people have been asking about how arranged marriages work, how I found my wife, that whole process. So, I'm going to tell you the story, okay? It started back in 2013. 2013, I'm 23 years old. Here's the thing. I have three brothers and two sisters. My oldest brother, Ibrahim, got married at 23. Boom, he's off to the races. My other brother, Omar, got married at 23. Boom, he's off to the races. Then me, I turned 23. Just crickets. And I'm like, nah, I'm fine. I'm still in law school. I'm going to just kind of wait this thing out. And then a few months later, my younger brother, Sam, we're only 11 months apart. We're literally, what do they call them, like Irish twins? He gets married at 23. And so now I have pressure. 2013, I've got pressure to get married because I don't want to be the last guy in my family that didn't get married. So I remember the first person that I ever talked to, and we use the term arranged marriage kind of loosely, but here's how the arranged marriage works in the United States for Palestinian families, or Palestinian, Syrian, Lebanese, Jordanian, the Muslim household that we have here. First, your parents have to agree on you to speak with the other person's parents. So my mom and dad had to reach out to the other family, and sometimes the moms do it, sometimes the dads do it. If one of the parents is not around, then, you know, sometimes they'll talk to the oldest brother or oldest sibling that's available. But bottom line is, a representative from your family has to initiate the contact in order for you to get approval to speak to that other person. That's how arranged marriages start. And for us, the first time you ever sit down and meet with someone, you have to make a decision on whether you want to marry them. You don't have to propose right then and there, but you have to make the intention that you're going to marry them, i.e. get engaged. So the very first time that I'm supposed to sit down and talk with this woman is back in 2013. My dad tells me, hey, we found someone for you. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, she's from Tennessee. You know, family's really, really good, all this stuff. But they just so happen to be in Kuwait right now. Like, okay, so what does that mean? It's like, well, you're going to talk to them on Skype. Okay, sure, let's talk on Skype. So I'm sitting here in the living room of my dad's house, and I'm talking to this lady's dad. First time ever, had no clue who this guy was. I'm talking to him. He's talking in like a different accent, different dialect than I speak in Arabic. I'm already uncomfortable talking about this. And he's asking about, you know, things like, you know, what are your career aspirations and what are you planning on doing? And, you know, do you have your own house? And like all the things that dads care about, right? And I'm like, yeah, man, I pray five times a day. And, you know, I'm throwing in the bismillahs and the insha'allahs and the masha'allah like 24/7. So he knows that I'm a, you know, loyal, faithful guy. And so after I went through like this 15-minute drilling period, this is what he does. He literally moves his laptop to the right and says, okay, now you can talk to my daughter. And I'm like, are you going to stay here? Because I'm trying to just like get to know this person. Like, picture this. You've never met this person. You have no clue who they are. You've never spoken to them. And this is the first time you seeing them. And now her dad is sitting right next to her. And in the next 15 to 20 minutes, you're supposed to learn enough about this person to decide whether you want to marry them. That's my first experience with potentially getting married, and I was traumatized. So I was like, nope, big X, like they do on X Factor or the, you know, the whatever shows that they have. America's Got Talent with the big X, right? It's like big X from me. I don't want it. So every time I go from talking to someone and it doesn't work out, I take like a month or two to like recoup because it's like, all right, my head's out of, I'm not thinking about this anymore. I just want to focus on myself, get my law degree, finish my classes, start my business, you know, just travel the world. That's what I want to focus on. So from that moment in 2013 to August 17, 2017, which is the exact day that I first texted my wife, Salam. And I'll tell you the story about that because I actually texted her and was like, hey, Salma. and I misspelled her name the very first time I ever texted her. From that 2013 to 2017, I talked to about 40 different women. And every one of them had a different story. Every one of them was a disaster. Not a single one, though, did I meet and then decide I have the intention to marry this person. Because usually after, and I'll tell you one of the horror stories, right? Some families are very conservative in the Middle Eastern and Muslim cultures. So sometimes they won't even let you see a picture of their daughter. You have to go in person to meet them. So my mom found this girl, was like, hey, you know, she's really cute. She comes from a great family because she was from the same village that my mom was from. They were in Kansas City. So I'm in law school, and as soon as classes are done on like a Thursday, I get in the car, drive up to my parents, and we drive 12 hours to Kansas City overnight. We get there the next morning, and we stop at a gas station, literally to like, because we weren't going to stay at a hotel, not for, you know, a one-hour meeting. We get to a gas station, I'm washing my face, I'm doing the whole armpit thing, you know, and like, all right, do I have any cologne? Let's spray some cologne, let's get some gum, let's fix my hair a little bit. All right, ready to rock and roll. So I've been driving all night to go meet this girl, and the very first thing I noticed was I walked into the house and all the lights were off. And from that point, I was like, okay, either this family didn't know I was coming or they really don't want me here. So they put me in a living room with my parents, you know, and they turned like one of the lights on. And they started talking to us about, okay, well, you know, what's going on? You know, what are you doing? What's your life about? What are you studying? You know, just the families getting to know each other. And then like one brother at a time started coming in, like her brothers. One of them, you know, ran a grocery store. The other one ran a cell phone store. The other one, you know, some other business. They just started coming in one by one and like just judging me up and down, just like staring me down. Finally, after about 30, 40 minutes of talking to the family, they were like, you know, they brought their daughter in and she was holding, and this is very customary, right? Like the very first time that a potential suitor wants to meet a potential spouse, their future wife, they'll come in and serve them like either coffee or tea or something on a tray. And so after 30, 40 minutes of getting grilled by this family, you know, their daughter comes in. And, you know, she's like super shy. She comes in and drops, you know, serves the tea. And some families will allow their daughter to serve the tea directly to the potential suitor to show like, hey, this is someone that's actually going to serve you and, you know, not in a subservient or obedient manner, but someone that's going to take care of you. That's kind of the image that they're trying to portray. Like, we have a daughter that knows how to cook and clean and take care of the house and take care of the family. Like, she's going to be the traditional Muslim type of wife that you're going to want. Some people like that. Some people don't. I mean, I didn't really, like, that wasn't a big deal for me. I wanted to go know the personality. And we'll get to that. Trust me. So, serves the tea. We're sitting there. We're talking. And then they give us permission to go to another room to talk. So like I said, some families are super liberal, some are conservative. Some liberal families will literally let you go out in public with this, you know, with their daughter and say, look, y'all go have coffee, have lunch, have dinner, whatever. I trust you, right? Because they really want you to get to know each other. Some conservative families like this one, in this specific instance, they would put us in a separate room, but the door was open. There was a window there, like they could see and peek in. Her mom was checking in on us every, you know, few minutes. And so we're sitting having this conversation, and it was awkward. And I asked her, well, what do you look for in a husband? She said, you know, I'm really attracted to Korean pop singers. I said, okay. You know, I'm not a Korean pop singer, right? She said, yeah, well, you know, that's like, I just really like the Korean culture, you know, and I just think the pop singers are so hot. Clearly this girl was not ready for marriage, okay? So once that, and she was dead serious when she said that. So once I figured that out, my brain just kind of shut down. I'm like, all right, this is just not going to work out. So I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Let's just check in and see what's going on in the other room. You know, maybe they, you know, have snacks or something. Let's grab something to eat. And I swear this is what I did, all right? As I was walking out of the room, I made sure she was like walking in front of me. And I'm walking like a few steps behind. I'm walking slowly so that I can make eye contact with my dad. And this is all I did. My dad is sitting at the table. I'm walking behind this girl that I know will never have a chance at ever seeing each other ever again. I look at my dad, and I just raise my eyebrows like this. That means no, it didn't work out. Just this. And the reason I did it that way is because first, I have like this telepathic communication with my dad. We know each other very, very well. And if you guys want, I'll bring him on the podcast. He's hilarious. As soon as that happened, my dad went into, all right, let's shut this thing down. And so the very first next thing, he like, you know, sets the tea down and says, okay, ya jama'a, you know, gentlemen, thank you so much. You know, it was a real pleasure. Thank you guys for inviting us over. You know, we really appreciate it. And at that exact moment, the entire family knew that this wasn't going to work out. And so all the brothers that were sitting there, the mom, the dad, and okay, let me just brag a little bit. Like, I'm a catch, okay? Like, if I just drove all the way from Atlanta to Kansas City, 12 hours overnight between law classes, okay? I'm a law student pursuing my MBA. I have a side business. I have two legal jobs. Like, I'm hustling. I have the resume, dude. And you don't even want to turn the lights on for me to come and like acknowledge that we're putting in some effort. They realized that the moment my dad said, okay, it's not going to work out. And it made me realize first, my dad is a boss. Okay, he's not gonna sit there and make me feel awkward or waste my time because, yo, this is, it's business, right? Like, this isn't gonna work, we're leaving. But the second thing was, I felt like that family lost something right then and there. Like, they knew they should have taken it more seriously. They should have understood the type of person that's coming to see their daughter. They should have done a better job, a better effort of like at least talking to her, coaching her and saying, hey, look, don't say stupid stuff like you want Korean pop singers. Like get to know this person, see if there's a potential future, because there's a shortage of good Muslim guys and a shortage of good Muslim girls in the United States. They should have had that conversation. And so we left, we dipped out. We stopped by my brother's in-law's bakery. Got some bread, got some stuff, met them, told them about the whole situation. They laughed. We left, you know, and went back to Atlanta. On the ride home, I told my mom, don't ever, ever, ever connect me with someone unless I see their picture, I get to see them on video, and I have a conversation before we come and visit them. That's it. I'm never going to do that. You can't make me waste 24 hours of my life for someone that doesn't even want me. So obviously, from that point, a couple months went by, they bring in another candidate. Another couple months go by, hey, what do you think about this person? What do you think about this person? Finally, 2017, February 12th, 2017, I started my law firm, and I just went straight into hustle mode. I just started signing up and bringing in as many cases as possible. And I knew that I was building a multi-million dollar business, but I was still flat broke. I had like $200,000 in debt. I was living with a roommate paying $300 a month in rent. I was driving a leased car that I was about to turn back in like in June of that year. So I was in hustle mode, and I didn't necessarily care about marrying someone at that time because I wanted to build my life and build up myself first. But somehow my sister Malika told me, hey, I found this person. You know, she looks really nice. You know, we've met her once in the past. Here's her picture on Instagram. I think you should, you know, meet them and talk to them. So my mom reaches out to her mom. They see the picture on Instagram. And my sister initiates the conversation. She says, hey, my brother is really interested. You know, is it okay if I get your mom's contact information so my mom can reach out? That's how it works. That's literally how arranged marriages work right now in 2020 and beyond. She said, here's her number. That's it. Because also, like, serious Muslim women aren't going to date other Muslim men. That's just not something that happens. We don't date. We go straight for, hey, I have an intention of getting married. I want to come and meet your family. And during that time, you ask as many questions. I ask as many questions as possible. And if we see that there's a potential future, we make the intention to get married on the spot. Now, this particular situation was unique because when I finally got her number, her mom spoke with my mom and they figured out the intentions. They were both like, you know, they each had multiple children, all, you know, most of them at marriage age. My wife was the last one in that family. like the youngest one, so she was the last one to get married. So they had already been through the motions a lot. They've already married off four kids. I've married off four kids. Like, look, if they're young and they want to talk to each other, just let them talk. There's no point in going through all the formalities. So I got her number. I texted her, said, "Hey, Selma, this is Ali." And her name is Salam. I misspelled her name. The very first communication, like I screenshotted it and sent it to her like a few years later, like to show her, "Hey, this is our first communication ever." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, my bad. I didn't realize, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I distinctly remember when I texted it. It was like around 8 p.m. I was in my old office in downtown Atlanta, 260 Peachtree Street, suite 1001. I was in the kitchen on the floor setting up a laptop with my cousin Muhammad because we were trying to get new equipment for new employees that we wanted to bring on. I think at that time I didn't have any employees. I may have just had one assistant. And I told her, "Look, I don't want to waste your time, but I really want to get on a FaceTime call. I want to see your face, and I want to see your reaction when I bring certain things up, and I want to see if there's a potential future with us." And I found out later that she was really taken aback. Like, this guy is really bold. Like, he doesn't want to even go through the texting or calling process. He wants to go straight for FaceTime. Like, yep, because I don't have time to waste. I'm not going to waste your time, and I don't expect you to waste mine. We got on a FaceTime call the first time. A little awkward, just kind of talking. And, you know, you're smiling. It's hard to showcase your personality. You kind of push a little bit and then kind of push back because you don't want the other person to get scared off. But by the second call, I knew that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Salam. I knew it. I knew that she would be the mother of my children. I knew that she would be my wife. I knew that we were going to spend a long, happy life together, and I knew she's exactly the type of person that I'm looking for. And that wasn't because of how beautiful she was or her, the great family that she came from. It was really about her personality and the way she respected the culture and the religion and the level of confidence she had in, like, I know what it takes to be a good wife, and I'm going to do it. And then it was just up to me to deliver and be a good husband. So August 17, we texted. First time, we start doing FaceTime calls, and then we immediately say, okay, we got to meet each other. We tried to make it work where September 3rd or 4th, because all of her brothers were in residency program at the time, so it was hard to get all of them, and they were in different parts of the country. It was hard to get all of them in one place. So we said, okay, how about September 3rd, 2017 at 2 p.m. at this specific location? It's like, well, my other brother can't be here, or this brother's not going to be able to join. And, you know, her dad had passed away when she was at a very young age. So her brothers were essentially her father figure. And I didn't want to meet her for the first time and not have her brothers there because I wanted to get full approval from everyone. Let's just get straight to the point. So the weird thing is, from September 3rd and 4th to the time we finally met in person, September 30th, 2017, I had to go to South Africa for a friend's wedding. And I was literally out for 2 weeks. And that obviously puts a wrinkle in your communication and the momentum that you have, because you're talking every day, you're FaceTiming every day, and I'm sitting here gallivanting in southernmost African continent in the world, right? The lowest tip of the world, of the civilization. September 15th is her birthday. So I'm in South Africa. I'm at a safari in Johannesburg, and I don't have good phone service. I barely have internet, but I still made sure that I would get to a laptop and order her an edible arrangement to be shipped to her house. And, you know, I was broke at the time. Like, I was staying in $20 a night Uber, Airbnbs while I was there. So, like, this was a big deal. I'm like, look, I really care about this person. I want to make sure I do a good, you know, make a good impression. And I want her to know that I'm thinking about her while I'm here. So that happened. And when I finally got back, we said, all right, September 30th, we're meeting. I got with my family, with my parents and my two sisters, because my sisters are like my homies, right? They're going to make sure that, you know, we close the deal because they want to talk to the girl too and make sure that she's qualified because they can get information out of her that I wouldn't be able to. We drive from Atlanta to Virginia. I think it was in Richmond, Virginia, where her oldest brother was staying. Alayhi rahmo, he's since passed away. May he rest in peace. And the entire way there, I'm telling my parents, don't mess this up. Like, I'm going to get married, dude. Like, don't say anything. My dad has these raunchy jokes. He says so many inappropriate things. I found out over the years that we grew up really, really like ghetto, honestly. We're like ghetto Arabs is what we really are. And we just kind of became a little bit more polished over the years. So I'm telling my dad, don't say anything that's going to mess this up. I'm going there to get married. We go, finally get to that house in Richmond. We stop and get some flowers, balloons, whatever, so I make a good impression. And first time we step into that house, we're greeted by the family. We're sitting down. And the whole time she's upstairs because they want to like build the suspense a little bit, and they don't want you to walk into the house and you just see your future wife just sitting there like, hey, what's up? Come on in, you know? So we're talking, we're getting to know the families, you know, very, very respectful, a little bit awkward, but you know, it's like, we know our intentions are clear. And finally she comes down the stairs in this like, it's like a dark red dress, like almost like a little violet, like really, and she loves like the flashy dresses with like the beads and everything. And she's coming down with like her, you know, with the Arabic style Turkish coffee that we're serving. And my jaw just dropped when she came down because this was the first time I'd ever seen her in person. And on the way there, I knew that I was going to marry her. So when I finally saw her in person, I was like, yes, it's true. She's a real person. She looks even better in person. Yes. Deep down, but I had to contain my excitement, right? You know, keep it cool. You know, I'm a cool man, right? So we did not stop making eye contact the whole time. And she's blushing the whole time. And like, I just couldn't wait to like take her to the side and start talking to her, you know? And her brothers finally let us. They went upstairs and they let us stay downstairs. And they would come and check in on us from time to time because there's no, you got to keep the halal space, right? Like you're not allowed to touch, but you can be close to each other as long as you're talking. And we just started talking about everything, like what our career aspirations were, how many children we wanted to have, where we wanted to live, what types of vacations. And I made it very clear, like, yo, I love taking vacations. I just got back from South Africa. I want to travel all over the world, and I hope you're cool with it. And she's like, are you kidding me? What girl would not be cool with that? I'm like, hey, you'll be surprised. Some of them just want Korean pop singers. Ha 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 ha. I told her that joke later on. But long story short, or short story long, we made the intention right then and there to get married. And that means that we read the first chapter of the Quran. So when you read the Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran, in our Palestinian culture, that's how you make the intention of getting married. So first time I ever saw her in person was September 30th. I flew up to Buffalo to see her and her family a couple of times during that last part of the year. And then December 12th, 2017, we were Islamically married. So that's 2.5 months of sort of dating and getting to know each other. But during those 2.5 months, we were speaking hours and hours and hours at a time every single day, FaceTime, you know, doing sweet things for each other. And we had our wedding June 17th of 2018 the following year because it took like 6 months. Even though we were legally married and Islamically married, our marriage certificate is from 2017, we had our wedding in 2018, which brings up another point. There are different cultures, like with Palestinian cultures, Syrian cultures, Lebanese cultures, Jordanian cultures, all of them speak the same style of Arabic, but they have different ways that they do their celebrations. We usually do the marriage, the celebration of the families together, where they call it writing the book, Katb al-Kitab. So when you write the book, i.e. you get married, that's when you have the spiritual leader, the sheikh, the imam come and read and like talk about marriage and all these things. You have just your families. It's very close and intimate. We get together and we have that celebration. And then the wedding usually comes after that for us. In some cultures, they'll do it the same day. The morning of, they'll do the Katb al-Kitab, where they'll make the intention of actually getting, they'll actually get married, and then they'll have the wedding that afternoon. And I've also had friends that will get legally married and then wait for the wedding 2 or 3 years because they need to save up money because, you know, Arabs love having lavish weddings. We didn't. We had a, you know, we had a fun, awesome wedding. I'll tell you the story about the getting the wedding venue because that's a whole story in and of itself. But honestly, since then, it's just been the most fun experience of my life. And I know that I was very rough around the edges. She's definitely polished me over the years. So this version of Ali is very different from the version you would have seen 5 years ago. And hopefully it only gets better because she makes me into a better person. And even though we have our disagreements, I know that this is not only the right thing to do, but it's the religious thing to do. In our religion, getting married is considered completing half of your deen, half of your religion. So getting married to someone and staying loyal and faithful to them for your entire life, that's Islam personified. And that's why I'm just over the moon. When I think about her, I don't want to say butterflies in my stomach because she always said that, but I do get emotional when I think about her. And of course, she gave me a beautiful baby boy in 2021. His name is Adam. And so his initials are AAA, Adam Ali Awad. And her brother, Salam, my brother-in-law, who was actually the man that gave me my wife, like gave her hand in marriage to me, he passed away in 2020 in a tragic car accident. His name was Alaeddin, and we would call him Triple A because he had three A's in his name. Ala, A-L-A-A, and then Ad-Din, A-L-D-E-E-N. So Adam's initials, Adam Ali Awad, are also Triple A. And so I thought that that was like kind of a, you know, a powerful moment. And Adam's been, he's a Bowser. Like, this kid is just, he's so much fun. I don't like to post much about him on social media because I think the best things should be for yourself and for your family and for your loved ones. But that kid is so much fun. And I just never thought I would enjoy changing diapers. I never thought that would be something I would want to do. But you just it's your offspring. You just love this thing no matter how useless they are. You love them. You want to take care of them. And you want to see them grow, and every day is just another conversation about Adam. Like, how was his nap time? You know, how was his poops today? How many ounces of milk did he drink? You know, did he have a second meal? How long was his third nap? Or did he actually make it through the night? You know, did he bother you on the way home or on the drive? Those are literally conversations that we're having every single day. And if I could give you, so that's my life. That's where I am today. And if I could give you some feedback, if you're looking to get married, you're looking to start a family, you want to know how this whole thing works, I would say this. Obviously, physical attraction is important. You have to be physically attracted to the person. But you have to think about, is this someone that I could continuously wake up to every single morning for the rest of my life and be happy? And so that person is usually not the one that's always out partying and having a good time and wants to go to the beach and show off and all that stuff, which was kind of who I was, you know, but my wife wasn't. She was from a much more, I would say, conservative household, and she was one of five children. Her mom basically raised her on her own, and there was a very strict guideline, so she knew what it meant to be a good wife and be a good mom. And to take care of the house. She was religious. She spoke Arabic well, which was very important for me. And I remember having a list. I had a list of 15 things that I was looking for in a wife. This is literally how technical I got. And I wrote down all the attributes that I'm looking for someone to get married to. And a lot of people told me, hey, you never need to negotiate. You'll find whoever you want. You don't need to, you know, give in to anything. But on that list of 15 items, I checked off the ones that were most important to me. And religion was the most important to me. Arabic language was the most important to me. Fun personality was important to me. Sense of humor was important to me. I need someone that can laugh at my jokes because I'm a funny guy. And if you don't laugh at my jokes, we got a problem. I went down this list, and the only thing that I didn't check off were such superficial things that really didn't matter. And I realized that I got everything that I had bargained for. And then there were things that weren't even on my list that I didn't even know that I needed. So that's what I encourage you to do. If you're looking for someone to get married to, then write down all the things that you're looking for. And even if it's like, hey, they need to be a certain age, they need to have this sort of height, they need to look this color, they need to speak this way, you'll very quickly realize how many of those actually matter for a successful marriage and how many of them are just, this is what I'm thinking in my current day and age and I don't know any better. So that's what I got. That's my story of getting married to my wife. And I was encouraged to do a more personal podcast today. So I hope that gives you a little bit of insight on Islamic marriages and arranged marriages and how they work. And I hope you guys took something from the show today. We'll try to take it back more to like business and law later, but this is one of those life shows. Thank you so much for joining in today, and we'll see you next time on the CEO Lawyer Podcast.